right, guys, welcome back to a new episode of Uni Therapy Podcast. I have an exciting guest here on a very serious week, and it is not only her first time on Uni Therapy, it is her first time on any podcast ever in the world, and she's so excited to be here. Her name is Taylor McLeod, and she's one of my best friends, and I just want you guys to know she is feeling really excited to share all of her knowledge today. So, Taylor, welcome.
Hi.
Okay, the truth is about Taylor is she's not a super public person. Like, she posts an Instagram story maybe 3 times a year. How many times would you post on your feed? Like, once every 3 years?
Maybe once a year.
There's like a big life event she'll post.
Yeah.
But she's not a big public out there center of attention gal. Might be a little different when we're with our friends, but she's doing this because she loves me and she's passionate about what we're going to talk about.
That's right.
And I promise I'm going to let you talk more, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how pumped were you to come over and record?
You know, probably about a 4 on the excitedness of having my voice out in the public, but a 10 to spend time with you.
Thank you. Okay. So now that we have that out of the way, we're going to be talking about something super serious today. Of course, it's still going to be an episode that I think you guys will enjoy and get a lot out of. But September, which we are now in, is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. And because of that, I thought it was important to talk about that whole topic, suicide, depression, and really create a conversation around it. And Taylor is probably somebody who knows more about this topic than anybody else I know. So Taylor, what do you do? Tell us what your job is and how you got there.
This is never a field I really thought I'd be interested in, but I work in crisis prevention and intervention services. So I've done a couple of different jobs in this field. So I've been a crisis responder, where I respond to people who are having thoughts of wanting to hurt themselves or others, and also who are experiencing psychosis.
Okay, so basically your job's really hard.
Yes, it's a lot to take on. We also really, in the job that I work in now, we focus on crisis prevention. So what that means is we're looking at ways that we can help prevent a crisis from happening or having people get to the point of needing crisis intervention services. So we want to focus on what people do well, what people are good at, what their strengths are, and incorporate that into their daily life to try to help them find a purpose and meaning instead of having to go into that crisis mode. It's pretty awesome.
An important work that we need to be doing. I am very grateful that Taylor's here because I think that she's going to have a lot to offer and some perspective that is good for us to hear. And this episode is for anybody. And I wanted to say that in the beginning because I think a lot of people might see this topic or start listening to it and be like, oh, I've never dealt with that or known anybody who's dealt with that. So this isn't really for me, or that's too heavy, or that's too serious, or I don't want to learn about that. That's not going to affect me. And the truth is, it will. This is a bigger issue that affects more people than I think people realize because we don't talk about it very much. So can you tell us the stats you have on this?
Yes. So according to the CDC, these are all statistics from the year of 2019. So suicide in 2019 was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States. And it claimed the lives of 47,500 people, which to me is quite an alarming number.
Yes.
It was also the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 and 34, and the 4th leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 35 and 44.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
So if you think that this isn't something that's going to affect you, it's almost like when you're like, oh, I'll never get cancer. It's never something you think is going to happen because you don't want it to happen. And we almost like want to pretend that it's not a real thing, but it is a real thing. And whether or not we want to believe that. And so what our job is to be aware of what this actually is, just like you're aware of what cancer is and you go to get breast exams and you get this when you feel something weird there or something like that. It's the same kind of thing.
And reality is, you may not think you know someone that's struggling with thoughts of this, or that there may be someone that has been affected by this in a personal way, but looking at these statistics, yeah. you may not know someone that has verbally said it, but it could be an internal struggle that someone is experiencing.
Because you can't see it.
You can't see it.
You can't see it. And a lot of people don't want you to know about it.
Right.
And one thing that I remember in school when we started learning about suicide assessments and how to do them, I will tell you, this was probably the most uncomfortable part of grad school, because we had to ask really scary questions. And even as a therapist in the beginning, it was really scary if somebody were to say something that would cause us to think that they might be a harm to themselves or others. We then were required to do a suicide assessment or self-harm assessment. And it was so uncomfortable and awkward. And one of the things that came up were, well, I don't want to ask them if they want to kill themselves, because then what if they do?
Yeah. And I think that's a fear a lot of people have. And something to note is that's not true. If someone is already thinking about suicide, the thought is already in their head. Asking them about it is not going to be the reason that they die by suicide or attempt suicide. Mm-hmm. Asking them about it actually could save their lives, mm-hmm. because maybe they've never had anyone say, are you okay? Or maybe they've never had anyone say, what's going on lately? I care about you and I feel like something is off. Are you okay? Is there something you need to talk about? You know, you can flat out say too, hey, have you actually had thoughts of wanting to hurt yourself? That's not going to put the idea in their head. It's just going to bring it to light and get attention to it and get them the help that they need.
Think about if you're somebody who's not struggling right now and somebody were to ask you that, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to go do that now.
No.
That wouldn't happen.
No.
And so if you asking were to trigger something in somebody, that's probably a good thing, because that means that they are struggling. And so that's you supporting them.
Right.
And I just left my friend Amy's house and we were doing a episode that came out last week about kind of the toughness of the world. And we talked about this topic as well. And we were talking about the fact that because you can't see depression a lot of times, you can, just like you can be a functioning alcoholic, you can be somebody with functioning major depression, and that might confuse people, but you can. A lot of times people are really having a hard time, but you wouldn't know, because we assume people getting things done and functioning and being successful as they're doing good and well. And what I think a big issue is with people who struggle with this is a lack of connection and feeling known and seen and cared about. And so reaching out to somebody and saying like, hey, are you okay? Just want to check in. Like, are you okay? That could be literally all they need to feel seen, heard, and cared about.
Right.
And it's so simple.
Yeah.
And what's the worst that is going to happen? They're going to say, yeah, why are you asking?
Yeah. It's not going to offend them. It's going to make them feel supported.
Well, it could offend somebody, but
well, I guess it could, yeah.
It could offend somebody, but if that's the worst that could happen, it's going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
But the best case scenario is you save somebody's life.
That's
I will
true.
Offend people all day long.
Yes. Personally. I agree with that. Yeah.
The other thing that you just said when we were talking is died by suicide. That might have sounded weird to some people. So why didn't you say committed suicide?
Yeah. So this has been something that's come up in recent years. But okay, if I were to say, well, somebody committed death by cancer, you know, that doesn't make sense. They didn't choose to get cancer. They didn't choose to be sick and die from cancer. It just so happened that the course of life that they had, they got cancer and they died. Mm-hmm. When someone is struggling with thoughts of suicide, it's not something they want. No one wants to live in that depressed state or that hopeless state. So they're not choosing to commit suicide. It is not a choice they're making. It is a state that they're in and they feel like there is no other option. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to say that someone committed suicide, but they are dying by suicide, just like it's an illness like cancer.
So that still might sound confusing to people, because you don't implant cancer into your body, right?
Right.
So for those who are still like, yeah, but they still might pull the trigger or take these pills or do this or whatever it is, I want you to tell us about, you were sharing with me a story from, was it a coworker or a friend?
It's just a story from a friend that I've heard before, how someone has described what it feels like to have those suicidal thoughts. Ideations okay. or thoughts.
Because you're never going to fully really understand what it's like to feel that unless you feel it. It's not something that, and this is a silly comparison because it feels a little bit like watered down, but like I remember I never really understood what it was like to have your heart broken until my heart was broken. And then after it was, I was like, oh my God, now I feel like an asshole. because I like acted like people breaking up with their boyfriends wasn't a big deal. So will you tell us that story or describe to us what your friend said? Because I thought that was really helpful.
So basically what they said is struggling with these thoughts of suicide almost feels like being trapped in a burning building. And the only option that you have is to stay inside the building and burn or to jump out of the window. For you and I, we might say, oh, we'll look over on the wall. There's a fire extinguisher. We can just put the fire out or we can call 911. But they don't have that thought. To them, the only option is to jump or to burn. They can't see the fire extinguisher on the wall or the phone to call 911. And I just thought that was a great depiction of it because these are not thoughts that I've struggled with personally. Like you said, I don't know how it feels, but I have worked with so many people that are struggling with these thoughts and that's not where they want to be.
Yeah. And if you are in a burning building and it doesn't feel like there's any hope, you don't see the actual like hope.
What else are you going to
do? What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I just want anybody who has never actually experienced something like this. And if you have, I'm sorry that you even had to feel that. I want you guys to be very careful in the way that you judge and conceptualize this in general and how you might view people or talk about them, because you would never, going back to the cancer thing, you would never go say something to somebody, I can't believe they did that to their family if cancer took their life.
Exactly.
So speaking of your job and what you've seen and heard and experienced, can you tell us some things that you learned either through just your work and your training or your experience of working with individuals, human beings who are struggling with suicidal thoughts and ideation that you didn't know previously?
So that question brings up something that is probably one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to people who are experiencing suicidal ideations and even people that work in the medical field. And, you know, a lot of times what happens if somebody is experiencing suicidal ideations, they do end up in the emergency rooms and they undergo a psychiatric evaluation. And a lot of times what we run into is people saying, they're just wanting attention. You know, family members could say that.
Yeah.
Doctors could say that. Nurses could say that. And while it's infuriating from my perspective, because I know that's not the case, they don't know any better. You know, I mean, it's something that we have to bring education to and awareness to.
Who doesn't know any better? The people families, that are judging them?
Yes, the people that are judging them. Their brains aren't working the same way as that individual experiencing the ideations are. So they can't put it into perspective. They don't understand. But what I want to say is if they're crying out for attention to the point where they're saying they're having these thoughts, then they need the attention and we need to give them the attention that they need. So just please don't ever take that perspective. If someone is saying that, that is probably one of my biggest takeaways of working with these individuals. If somebody is crying out for attention, then they need the attention because they are clearly experiencing something that we can't understand.
Well, and I think that speaks to like what your job does and what you're doing now, because you're right. Like, first of all, if you're going that far just for attention, that is saying something. If you're going as far to voice that you want to end your life,
right,
or you want to hurt yourself, there's other ways for us to get attention. So that means that they most likely have tried other ways to be heard or get attention.
Right.
So if that's what their goal is, okay, then maybe we should actually pay attention to that.
Right, right.
The other thing is that shouldn't be our first thought of like they want attention.
No.
But if it is, then okay, why aren't we giving it to them?
Let's
why do they
find
have
a way to
go,
give it to them.
Why do they have to go to those extremes?
Right, right. Because who wants to go if they just want attention? Who wants to go sit in an emergency room for hours and wait to get the help that they need? Nobody's going to do that just for attention.
Or wait just to get somebody to
talk to them. Yeah. Yeah, they clearly
that's what it
need
takes.
Support.
Well, and I think that speaks to just like our world and the connectedness of our world, because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier when I said sometimes people just want to be seen, heard, and cared for.
Right.
What we could be doing with strangers, we could be doing little things every day that offer attention and love and support to people.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know what, I was, oh my gosh, this is kind of like a side note, but I went to TJ Maxx a couple of weekends ago. on a Saturday, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I don't recommend but that either.
No, it was a Sunday. It was so bad. Worse, yeah. I think it was probably worse. But there was a kid in the front of the store raising money for something. I don't know what it was. It was some charity. He had a bucket, and to everybody that walked in, he would say, "Do you want to whatever?" And you know what? Here's the thing. It's uncomfortable because you have to be like, right. I don't have cash or right. like, so I was in the front by like the purse section in the very front of the store, which I was there for like to look at couches and pillows.
I was in the purse section.
I was trying to find one of those cute little like belt bag fanny packs that everybody's wearing.
Yeah, they're the new thing.
Yeah. And somebody said they got one at TJ Maxx. So I was looking for one. I didn't find one. But I will. If you guys have any good recs for ones that you have that aren't like $1 million, please send them my way. Thank you. Anyway, I was standing there and I looked and it was busy day. So there's a lot of people walking in. And every time somebody walked in, the kid would say, "Would you like to donate to something children something?
Football league or something?"
It was like a children's hospital, you know, or something. Yeah. Things. Taylor would have been like, "Okay, I don't have any cash, but I'm going to go down. There's a bank down the street. I'm going to go get some money. How much do you need? Would $50 be enough? I only have 25 in my bank account, but give you 50.
I'll find it. Yeah. I'll find
Not to say she only has 25. I'm just saying she would give more than she has. Anyway, Taylor is the kind of person. This is why this is your job. Because Taylor's the kind of person who, if somebody walks up to her at like a gas station and is like, "Do you have any money?" She'll say, "I don't have money, but I will for sure go get you something to eat." And she'll walk in there. You've done this multiple times. She'll walk in there and she'll buy those people whatever they want. What was that one time that the guy bought like Spam Snickers and a Snickers?
Yeah, Snickers and Spam and like a 2-liter Coke. Yeah.
And she got it for them and she made that person's day and then she went on her way. But, and that speaks to my point, because back to TJ Maxx, everybody that walked in, they didn't make eye contact. And they ignored him and act like he was invisible. And I sat there and I was like, that must suck that he's sitting there trying to help people. And you don't have to give money. You can just say, "No, thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of you for doing what you're doing." Or right. "Thanks for doing this." Or, "I don't have cash, but I really appreciate you doing this." Or you could just say, "I don't have cash. I hope you have
treat
a good day."
Treat him like a human, honestly. Being. Like, don't treat him like a dog on the side of the road.
Yes.
Which you should also stop and help. But you
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. What I mean. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like, acknowledge them.
Yes. And that speaks to like the people that walk up to you at the gas station and the people that are selling the newspapers on. There's a newspaper in Nashville that it's called The Contributor. And basically you buy the newspaper for a certain amount of money and then you sell it for a certain amount of money and then you get to keep the difference. And it helps people get back on their feet and get some jobs. And it's something that has become really big in Nashville. It's been around for a while now. And they're at a lot of the corners. I mean, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
But people just ignore them and won't even smile.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know that you don't want a newspaper from them. You might have bought the newspaper from somebody else that day. You can just say, like, "Hi, no, thank you." But we don't do that because of we're uncomfortable or whatever. And there's a difference between that and, like, being at a gas station at night and you feel unsafe. But one thing that I heard, and I don't know if it was, it might have been on Amy's podcast when they had the Home Street Home people on.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that people just want to be treated like humans. Like, if you don't have money, that's fine. Just say, like, "Hey, how are you?" Or, like, "Hi," or smile at them.
Yeah.
And because we're going back to the attention and the feeling cared for, a lot of people who feel like they're in that burning building don't feel like anybody, one, cares about them or that they are anybody or worth anything.
Right.
And eye contact, smiles, those mean something. But when you are constantly being ignored, it makes sense that it feels like you have no hope.
Yeah. You feel worthless.
Yeah.
And that brings me to something else I was going to say that I feel like I've learned from this job is there are so many warning signs. And, you know, a lot of times when people die by suicide, you say, "I had no idea. You know, I never knew." A lot of times, and not to say always, but a lot of times people are giving those warning signs. We just don't know what to look for. And, you know, it can be as extreme as self-harm, where there is cutting or burning or scratching, but it could be really subtle ways of like withdrawing. If you have a very, very social friend and then all of a sudden they never want to do anything, or it's not a super social friend, but you can't get them out of the bed. You can't get them out of the house. You know, they start missing days at work. They take a lot of sick days. There could even be like showing extreme rage and getting really angry, getting really mad. You know, that's not normal behavior for that individual. Talking about feeling hopeless or just feeling down. I don't feel like I have a purpose. My job feels meaningless. I don't know what I add value to. Those type of conversations are things that, you know, if you start to notice that in someone, ask those questions. Again, it goes back to, you're not going to cause someone to harm themselves, but asking those questions could be what they need to maybe go to therapy or ask for help.
Well, if you were to ask me those questions, like, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Have those thoughts ever popped into your head? I would probably be uncomfortable because it's like, whoa, that got serious fast.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't fast. But I also would be like, are you kidding me? Thank you. Because what you're telling me is you care enough to ask the uncomfortable hard question.
Right.
So you're sending me the message that there is some kind of purpose for me here because you care about me. And there's no way for me not to have purpose if we're connected as humans.
Right.
Your purpose, by the way, going back to previous episodes, your purpose in life doesn't have to be to like be the star player of this team and make all these goals or like build this business or have 17 kids or what. Your purpose could be to be connected to other people.
Yes, 100%.
People are put on the earth so other people feel seen. So your purpose could be eye contact.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that sometimes there aren't signs and 100%. That just happen because sometimes people, there are those warning signs and sometimes there really aren't and that's why it's important to like maybe check in with all your friends.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to always be, hey, have you thought about hurting yourself? It could be, hey, we haven't really checked in a while or ever. How are you feeling? How's life? The world is kind of fucked right now. How's life?
Yeah.
Taylor will not use those exact words, but I would say that to you. But because people who are struggling look like people who are not struggling.
Yes.
A lot of times. And I talk about this stuff a lot because it is my job. And I usually the people that come to therapy are people who are that are struggling because a lot of people don't realize, not my listeners, because you have learned that you don't have to be in a crisis or be messed up or have a big issue in your life to go to therapy. But a lot of my clients are in crisis or do have them. And I hear a lot of times like clients come to me and they're like, nobody would expect me to go be in therapy because I handle it all the time.
Yeah. On something the outside, happens, I have it together.
Yeah. Something happens. I get my shit together. I was taught no crying in baseball. Like, let's get this done. And so people are always telling me how strong I am. Well, guess what? People know how strong you are because of how much you've had to go through.
Right.
And what you've had to do. And so people who are strong probably are, you know, they're strong because they've had a lot of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they can survive that struggle doesn't mean that inside they are not also still struggling.
Yeah.
So side note, check on everybody.
The person even the strong ones.
The strong ones and the person at TJ Maxx and the person on the side of the road. All the people.
Ask all the questions.
The people that are begging for attention, check on them too.
Yes.
So one of the last things I want to talk about, because this is something that is not normally talked about, and so people might not know if somebody does say like, I'm really struggling and no, I'm not doing well. Or if you yourself are really struggling and not doing well, what are things that we can offer to our friends after we do the, hey, how are you? How can we support somebody who's struggling? And also, can we talk about some resources for those who are?
Yeah, definitely. So I think if, you know, if you hear that somebody is, if they say, I'm not doing okay, you know, ask follow-up questions like, what's been going on lately? How can I support you? It's okay to not always have the answer. And I think that's something that as a society, we struggle with because we always want to have something to say.
Yeah.
But we don't. And I've learned that a lot of our friends are really good at that. And it may be that you say, I don't know what you need right now, but can you tell me? Or how can I support you? How can I help? What do you need? You know? And then follow up with them. Like, don't let it just be a one-time thing where you ask that question. Keep asking those questions. Keep checking in.
Good point. So it's okay to not know what to do next. It's okay to not have the answer. In life in general, let's like make that a thing. In this instance, especially, like, there's nothing that you can say to remove those thoughts or feelings from the person.
Right.
And so there's not going to be a perfect follow-up anything.
Yeah.
But you being there and continuing to be there and say, how can I support you, could be the biggest difference.
Yes, because not everyone feels supported in the same way.
Yeah.
And so we can't be like, do you want to go for a walk? I mean, you can offer that, but you can, you know, you can also follow
we have
it up
to go on a walk now. Yeah. You don't feel good. We have to go on
we
a
have
walk.
To walk. But I know that we probably feel supported in different ways.
Yeah.
And everyone feels supported in a different way. So ask that, because you can't read people's minds. You've got to ask those questions.
Well, you know, that makes me think of us and the things that we've been through. I remember when you were going through something one time. You're not as much as a verbal processor as I might be.
I'm not.
So what Taylor needed in her moment was she needed to be alone, and then she wanted to go out to eat to her favorite restaurant and not
Chili's.
Was it Chili's or we go to Chewy's?
I don't know which time you're talking about. Oh. But
but that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
And when I'm having a hard time, when I'm struggling, I want to talk about it and I want to say the same thing over and over again, probably. And I don't want to go eat. I don't want to go in public.
Right. Yeah.
And I also don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
So Taylor needed to take a beat by herself, have her moment, and then she wanted to go be with her friends in her skillet cookie.
Correct.
Our skillet cookie. I think that's important. Of like, there's not the right thing. But what we probably both did in those circumstances was, what do you feel like you need right now?
Right.
And so I think that just you saying that was really a big deal for anything, but especially this of like, because people don't ask the question, they don't go there because they're like, well, I won't know what to do.
Yeah.
Guess what? You think, well, listen, to an extent, I have some knowledge on what to do and how to help people.
Yes.
But when it comes to my clients, I don't know what they need all the time.
Right.
Because they're all different. They're all different. But there's no way in heck I'm going to just ignore an issue that's happening because I'm afraid that I won't know what to do.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, too, we have to be aware of the fact that people are going to say, I don't know what I need right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And sometimes just being present, you don't have to necessarily talk, but just being present and just being in the room with them and sitting in with them through whatever they're going through could be a game changer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also something that we can do is like build upon that person's strengths, like what they do well, and tell them of that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be in a cheesy way of like, oh, Catherine, like you're a way better podcaster than me. And like, you know, you can really talk to people, but like you can just have like a normal conversation and be like, hey, remember that time you did this? I really appreciated that. You know, like just kind of find something to bring into casual conversation about what you appreciate about that person.
You know what? We should be doing that in general more.
Yes.
Like we should be telling the people in our lives why we appreciate them.
Yes.
More often.
Yes.
We really should. Not just because I crave words of affirmation, but because if no.
Everybody so go around the room and tell me one thing they love about me.
I've roughly said that before in a joking way, but I also enjoyed the compliments.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you need that in your life, you better ask for what you need. You won't get what you need unless you ask for it a lot of times.
Exactly.
So I say that because some people do not know. They really don't know the things that they might have done that meant a lot to you. I might have done something for you that to me was like second nature, but to you, you're like, oh my gosh, that meant so much to
me.
So I think it's important to just like in general, like we shouldn't be holding all this stuff inside of us. If somebody is important to you, let them know. It could be literally life or death when it comes to this stuff. People might think or feel purposeless and disconnected, but they don't realize that there's so many people that benefit from having them in their life.
Yes. Also, if you're listening and you feel like I can't afford therapy or I can't afford the help that I need, if you do feel like you need to go somewhere inpatient for more intensive treatment, there are options out there. Don't let that be a deterrent to getting the help that you need. In Tennessee, we have what is called the Behavioral Health Safety Net. If you have no insurance and you need support, you can get it. You know, there are programs through the state to give you the help that you need.
And they're created because there are people in the world that don't even know you that believe that your life's important.
Yes.
And I think that's really freaking cool.
That is. It is. And people are out there advocating for more and more support every single day. You know, of course, there is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So it's 1-800-273-TALK. And TALK is 8255. So 1-800-273-8255. Everything is confidential when you call into those lines. Every area also has their own crisis line for crisis response. And that's something I think we should also kind of touch base on too, because if you're having that conversation with a friend and they tell you like, yes, I am having thoughts of hurting myself, and ask a follow-up question for that is, have you thought about ways you could do it? And if they say yes, what is that way that you've thought about? And if they say, well, I've thought about, you know, taking a bunch of pills, do you have access to that? You're wanting to ask those follow-up questions of like, yes, I want to hurt myself. What way do you, have you thought about how, mm-hmm. what way do you want to do it? And do you have access? And if those questions are all yes, 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 then you need to call somebody, because at some point,
you as the friend
need to call somebody, mm-hmm. because at some point it's outside of your scope. It's outside of what you can help them with. So you want to make sure that you call that, you know, that crisis line, or you call, you know, you say, can we take you somewhere? You know, here in Tennessee, again, we have what's called the crisis stabilization unit, which is free to people that don't have insurance. And it is a short-term stabilization for people that are in crisis. You would get therapy, you would get medication management, and they would set you up with follow-up services.
There's something that you can also do called a wellness check.
What I know of a wellness check is you can call the non-emergency line. You don't have to call 911. You can call 911 and they will send someone to the home to check on that individual. It is typically law enforcement that will respond.
Rather than a
mental health provider. But law enforcement has done a really good job, and a lot of states, it's not everywhere, but there is a big push to get mental health providers to respond with law enforcement, or law enforcement knows to call mobile crisis if they get there and there is a concern for someone harming themselves.
Okay. And so I'm glad that you said all of that, because if you are fearful for a person in your life, like, there are things that you can do if they're not willing to reach out for help. There's things that you can do to provide them help and support.
Yes.
And again, if we go back to like, well, I don't want to ask those questions because I don't want to put a plan in their head. I don't want to make them think of it. If they haven't thought of it, they'll say no. And if they have, they've already thought about it.
Right. You're not implanting that.
Yeah.
You're possibly saving their life.
And if they say, yes, this is how I do it, do you have the means for that? And let's say it's pills. Okay, can I hold those for you for right
yes.
now? That can lead you to essentially saving your friend or family member's or human, you might not even know this person's life.
Right. And I remember I was having a really bad day one day. I had, you know, just assessed somebody and had to send them, you know, to get treatment, to get help. And I was feeling really down about it because I was like, I just ruined their day. And I had a coworker respond to me and say, no, you just saved their life and you changed. I can't remember exactly how she worded it, but the coworker said, how I have to reframe for myself, because sometimes people get really mad at you when you're trying to help them.
Yes.
And in the moment, they're not going to be happy that you're.
Because it might not feel like help to them, to them would be. Going back to the burning building, help to them is different because they don't see the hope that you see.
Right. And the coworker said something along the lines of, it might have ruined their day, but it changed the course of their life.
Yeah.
And it also made their family members' days better because that person, you know, it could have affected so many people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
Okay.
100%. And it makes me think of like, to be a good therapist, I have to be willing to allow my clients to be mad at me.
Yes.
Like, I've had clients who've left pissed off.
Right.
I've had clients who've run away from treatment when I was working at the treatment center. I've had people slam my door. Fuck you. I've had it all happen.
Yeah.
But I have to be willing to do that, because I am not going to just ignore their needs.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing as well. Your job is really hard because people don't always think that them staying in their life is the best option.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the hope that they can't see. And so you might piss them off in the moment, but guess what? When they actually get better and find healing, you are going to be like a hero in their story.
Yes. Having those conversations is not always going to be warm and fuzzy.
No.
Don't expect it to always be happy, but it is going to make a difference.
Yeah. All right. So, and the last thing I want to say as we close this out is, I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. I'm sure some of you have seen this, but if you've ever seen a semicolon anywhere, like a tattoo or like a shirt or a bracelet or a sign or whatever, That is a symbol for surviving a suicide attempt or depression or suicidal thoughts. And what it stands for is like a moment of pause where a sentence could have been ended, but it keeps going and there's like a whole continuation of the sentence. And so if you ever see somebody with a tattoo like that or like a shirt or whatever, like give them an extra smile.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes, I agree with that.
And at the same time, like if you're somebody who's struggling now because it feels like we're speaking to the friend or the family member or the whatever, but we're also speaking to you if you're struggling now, that like you might not be able to see that there's a continuation and this your story's not over, but I promise you there are people that don't even know you that do see that. And yes. So if you're somebody who is actually really feeling down or needing help or needing attention or needing connection, there is hope for you too. And so we're going to put that hotline number, we'll put the national one
the
show notes. And just know that you could Google like crisis hotline in my state, in my city, and you could find something. Because sometimes I do know that it feels like there's nobody around you that you know that you can reach out to. And there's always somebody available there.
Yes.
All right. Well, Taylor, thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
Doing this.
Thanks
you
for having me.
You lasted a lot longer than I thought you were going to.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we could talk about this for hours.
I think so too. We're both pretty passionate.
I told Taylor before we started, I was like, it only has to be like 30 minutes to like.
Which felt like torture to me.
It's been much longer than that.
That's good.
But thank you for doing your job.
Of course,
and being
yes.
the human you are and being my friend.
Yes. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I would say we'll have you back, but I don't know.
It wasn't bad. I actually enjoyed it.
It's just
it
talking
was
to your friend.
Yes,
friend.
Yes.
This is just talking to your friend with a microphone.
Yes, it was
that,
a lot
like,
of fun.
Thousands of people will then hear the conversation.
Don't say that. It's only my mom.
Only your mom is going to hear this. She's going to be so proud of
and
you.
And my sisters. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We're only going to send this to them. So don't worry about it. No, we're sending this to everybody because this is helpful and this is going to help a lot of people, and it's going to help people feel seen, feel understood, and it's going to help people help other people feel seen and understood
awesome.
And cared for.
Yes.
So thank you. So I know this was like a heavier, bigger issue than you normally talk about, and I think that that's okay and that's important. And the whole point of this podcast when I started it was so we could start having conversations that are more meaningful and might be a little bit more scary more often in the world. So this is kind of like the meat of the work that this podcast was created to do. So thank you guys for being part of our familia here. And you know what? We're just going to leave you with, I hope you have the day that you need to have today, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be good. Doesn't have to be bad. Just needs to be what you need.
Have a day.
Have a day. Bye.